options of. So we're continuing Anamuna, 8:59. We're learning that. Savas is teaching us that the world would be a lot better, much better place with Anamuna. People wouldn't fight with each other, people wouldn't argue, all the stresses, the streets wouldn't exist. So it would all be good. It continues, he says, even wars between nations would be completely nullified if there was Anamuna in the world. Because every nation would be content with what it has, and it would accept the Hashkafa Hashem with love. And there's no need to say that certainly the way one nation treated another would be justly and with chesed, with help. It's also brought that in the future, through Ayyuday Shaddad Sigdal, on account of the fact that that will increase, then there won't be any damage, anyone damaging each other, and no cruelty, because the mercy of Hashem will spread through that. The Ikar Rachamim told about that, because Rachamim depends on that. Mercy depends on that. What's mercy and what's that? How do they connect? So that is awareness of Hashem, knowledge of Hashem. Right? And then the world to come, the time to come, that will fill the world. That doesn't mean that we'll all be brainy and clever. It probably will as well, but it doesn't matter the main meaning. The main meaning is quite simply knowledge of Hashem will fill the world. Everybody will know that Hashem exists. That's it. That is that. You know that Hashem exists. That's what Emunah is. Emunah is to know Hashem exists. Now there's a lot to know. Hashem's infinite. It's not just a one-time piece of information. By the way, just to let you know Hashem exists. Oh, okay, I'm done. Oh, it's a lifetime plus an eternity of to know what it means that Hashem exists. But that's what, and because of that, mercy will also spread. The person knows that Hashem exists, he can be merciful. What's mercy? Mercy means, mercy is different than kindness. We mentioned this before. Mercy not to be confused with chesed. Chesed is doing kindness. Doing something that's nice to help someone. Somebody needs a hand, you help them out. You've got something to have. Something that you can help someone with, money, gifts, health,
accuracy,
kind word, smile, oh, that's it, nice. Not mercy. Mercy is where the person doesn't deserve it. You still give it to him anyway. So when he doesn't deserve it, you still give that mercy on him. That comes through the fact that we know that Hashem exists. We know that everything is for the good. We know also that people really don't have a lot of choice. That the bad traits that we have are given to us by Hashem. And until a person works on himself a long, long time, and just to shoot them, and gets rid of those bad traits. You don't have bad traits? And they're not really his fault. And there's reasons why he got them. I go back to Gilgalim, so I don't know why I need to come back being an angry man. Right? But I'm an angry man because that's the way I share made me in this Gilgal. So if I'm an angry person, it's not really my fault, so to speak, certainly not this Gilgal. So once I'm aware of that fact, then I'm less, I'm much more kind and much more forgiving of an angry person. I know it's not his fault. If I don't know that, I'm just going to blame him. But you're an angry person. Get out of my face. Right? What I need you for? I'm not going to help you. Certainly not going to have mercy on you. Don't deserve anything from you. It's nasty to you. Why should I have mercy on you? Because it's not entirely, it's not Yuki's mistake. Not his fault. I can't get to that level of awareness without realizing Hashem's in the world and Hashem's doing it, and really Hashem and not him. And that's just a secret, and at any time the fact that he's hurting me is only because Hashem's willed it, it's actually not him. It's probably not even his intention. Children often have times when
but not in that situation. It's true, it's not a function of him that's why you're not, you know, upset with him.
Right.
But he didn't have a choice. If it wasn't through him, it would have been through someone else delivering whatever that message was. So
okay. But am I gonna be
on his part as well? If it's something
right. Right, but then it's not for me to work out what that culpability is. Hashem is going to sort out his culpability. My job, ideally, we're talking about ideas, right? My job, ideally, is to have rachamim on him and Hashem deal with it. Right? You're complete, right? You're not a nice person. But nonetheless, I'm going to have mercy on you, so to speak. Not, it's a very hard level to achieve. Not because I'm full of ga'ava and I'm going to have mercy on you. Right, to make myself feel good. Not real mercy. Ga'ava. But from a, if it's possible, from a real understanding that he's in as much pain and difficulty as aligned with my own issues. Right, when I fall, when I get angry at someone, when I act selfish, when all my own, I know that for me, I could have helped it. It came out, I just blew up, I didn't know what I did. Well, person doesn't sin unless they rush to into them. Like, nobody wants to act that way. Very often people like Paro or whatever who lose every choice, but your general person doesn't want to act that way. So just like I don't want to act that way, I can see the same in another person. But he too, they're struggling just like me, but different struggles. And it's more difficult because his struggles aren't mine. So when I look at my friend, I see, well, you're an idiot. I would never have reacted in that way. You're right, I would never have reacted in that way because I don't have your issues. But you have different ones than me, and vice versa. So I tend to judge him unfavorably because I judge him against my own measure. And on the level of anger, well, I would never have blown up. So you're obviously, right? I can obviously judge you very harshly on my test. So one part of our growth in Emuna and how we treat other people is to come to that process. That's part of it, not being able to judge anyone. That's what you can't judge a person until you're in his place. You're never going to be in his place. You won't give him the same with the same medoc, and the same background, all the same parents, etc. So you can never judge a person. Judge his actions. We have to judge actions. We have to know what's right and wrong. Do this is not correct. In order that I don't do it, I don't copy it, I have to recognize this is not correct behavior. Does that mean I need to judge the person himself, because I don't know what he's going through. Without emunah, there is no reason, there's no explanation why the person needs to do good in this world and stay away from bad. Why does the person need to live a life of trying to fix himself and trying to make a family? Why does he need musa, self-discipline and responsibility, etc.? Because if there's no din and there's no if there's no judgment and there's no judge and death is the end and there's no continuation after it, what is there to prevent the person from killing and stealing? Who's forcing him to do what he does? Only through a Muna, everything is settled and clear that there is a God who is watching and who is judging. And on every action, a person will come to have to give a reckoning on it. Right? The person doesn't have a Muna, it's just illogical why you should act good. What's the point? What are you doing it for? The person should really try and get them, squeeze the most out of this world that he can, which if he's got any sense, is to cheat, steal, get what he can from who he can, how he can, stand on people to get to the top. Right? Why not? This is it. Right? This is your one shot at enjoying the world, so get what you can out of the world. Right? And don't care who you hurt in the way. Right? It doesn't make sense. It's not logical to be nice. What for? If you're going to die, there's nothing after that. And there's no judge, and there's no... Right? It doesn't make sense.
So how can people say that they say, oh, you should live to 120 years, you know?
Yeah.
You
mean
that
you have to get your
money to live on the earth for 120 years?
Maybe you don't want
to be here many years.
You should live to 120.
Yeah.
In order that you can maximize your chance in this world to do good deeds. Because the more you can do good deeds, the more you can learn and do this world and so on, especially in this world. The bigger your world comes.
If you're able to change your perfect habit on earth, why would you want to do it for 120 years?
You're right. Look, also Chazal says that a person's life is 70 years and would draw 80 years. Like with difficulty stages. Right? It's certainly once you get past a certain age, life is not fun. Right? Right? It's even less. Right? We know how difficult it is of our age. And right? With old age to add on to that. You're right. I know, I don't have an answer to this. But
you're saying that you're 120, right?
So what do you say to someone on your 120th birthday?
I don't know.
Have a good day.
Okay. Yeah, look, the truth is we're here to complete our system. And after that...
I mean, some people dying so suddenly, at such a young age and so bad.
It depends. It could be that they completed their system. It could be that they only came down with a limited job to do, not so much to fix. You see, you've talked about it in here, in earlier pages, you talked about the fact that if you see a person who died young, especially like a kid, and they were mamash, very special.
Yeah, you told the story about that.
But you see that they were very special. Like a sweet person with hardly any bad new dogs, and they're just good to everyone. And surprisingly, just that, because it's not kind at all. So you see the fact that they were so good that they had nothing left to fix. They had one or two minor things to fix, and once they fixed them, then there's no point doing it. And that's evidenced by the fact that they were so pure and so special and so sweet. You're right, they were, because they fixed pretty much everything. They came down to fix the little tiny few things that they had left. And once they've done that, so they... No point in being it.
So we should.
Doesn't have to be the case always.
So we should. Wouldn't we hope that we don't live on? So we can just finish, do all the good stuff that we need to do over here and then go?
Maybe. But it also, it depends from what perspective. From a selfish perspective, meaning that this is too tough. I've just like had enough. And I just want to put my feet up in Gan Eden and just enjoy the heavenly bliss. So that's very selfish. So from that point of view, we do want it all finished, right? But it's not necessarily from the best place. A higher state of awareness is to know that this is the only place I can really serve Hashem, with free will. And I want to be here in order to serve Hashem with free will through the struggles. I know that in heaven, in Shemayim, that I can't serve Hashem anymore. I'm like an angel. There's nothing left to do. This is why he brought me down here, to serve Hashem. When I'm an angel, there's no good and bad. How can I choose good? How can I choose bad? Well, I can't. So it's a whole different thing. So I'm not doing anything for Kiddush Hashem. I'm not doing anything. Whereas down here, I have to wake up in the morning, and that's hard. I have to get to Yeshiva, that's really hard. I have to walk down to the Rav Yaakov, that's the hardest. Right? So,
100 steps to get to the attic.
Right?
Right?
So 100
steps to get there.
Here, right?
It's
right?
It's
so, every time I'm doing something down here, there's a big Kiddush Hashem. Right? When I'm struggling and I'm succeeding and I'm not falling and I'm picking myself up after I do fall. Right? So that, Avodat Hashem, can't be done upstairs. And so the longer I'm here, the more Avodat Hashem I can do. Ideally, I would love to be living for that idea. Not reality, I don't know about you, but certainly me. So I'm also looking forward to the time when we can just put our feet up in, right? Because it's a home.
And Jewish people are his people.
Yeah.
But is he Jewish, or that's not how it works?
No, it's not how it works. You can't have a king without a nation. Right? The king needs a nation.
Everybody,
isn't he? There's different ways of trying to understand why Hashem decided to pick one and not the other, and whatever. The simple explanation is that he looked at all the other nations. And none were interested, no one was picking. Right. You've got the Midrash that is. You went and asked them all. And so Midrash, you know Midrash. So when before he chose Am Yisrael, he went to all the nations and said, I have a Torah. And I'm happy to give it to you, are you interested? Right? And each one said no. Why? Because they looked into the Torah, they saw what the Torah can say, and said, no, this is tough. They said here, don't steal, we love stealing, sorry. It says here, don't commit adultery. We love...
What year was it?
Before giving the Torah. So each nation has its own desires, lusts, and whatever that the Torah just was against. So he came to Am Yisrael. He said to Am Yisrael, do you want the Torah? I'd like to give you the Torah. Are you interested? So Am Yisrael famously said the word, Ma'aseh v'nishma. We'll do it and then we'll look. They didn't look inside. We didn't look inside. Let's have a look at what it says first, and then we'll decide whether or not we're going to be happy with it. Right? And he said, yeah, fine. Yeah, you want to give him the Torah? Thank you very much. The nation, so what does it mean? So it's written in a Midrash. Right? So, do you understand Midrash? You can say on one level, Hashem spoke to the Neshama, spoke to all the souls of Am Yisrael.
Mm-hmm. And were alive at that point.
Yeah, they were created. They didn't have to be alive, but they were not alive.
But they weren't Am Yisrael at that point, right?
No. You're asking very hard questions to answer because they have many different answers. Because, for example, the souls of Am Yisrael, so we're learning through the writings of the Aryans in the Kabbalah that they came, the souls of Am Yisrael came from Adam and Rishon. And so Adam and Rishon, they came down through Doron Mordor through the flood and through Doron Hagar through the dispersion. Right, and they were very difficult souls to fix. And what are those difficult souls to fix? Because we're supposed to be the highest level, or whatever, a special level of soul that can't exist in this world if it wants to be so spiritual. We hate this world. We're fighting. We want to be out of it. But like, we hate the fact. Because our soul's so high. And we're in this body which is so low. So we feel the tension, whereas someone else who's not Jewish doesn't feel so, and not because of the big Yetzer Hara, doesn't mean how much it is, doesn't feel that tension so much. Because the Shaman's not screaming and fighting inside of him to get out of this stuff. This is just like, what are we doing here? Right? So, we got very difficult souls. So we came originally from Adam Rishon. At what point we came into being as a Jewish nation, we came through Yaakov Avinu, like Kabbalah said, before we became the 70 nations, the 600,000 souls of left Egypt, we were the 600,000 sheep of Yaakov Avinu.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That he took from Laban, why did he take them from Laban? Because he had to take out the fault from the Klipot, from the Laban, the house of Laban, was the Engage Sahara. He had to take them out. It's like Hashem took us out of Egypt, we had to come out from there. Also, we saw that in a lot of places, right? Yaakov had to take Rachel and Leah out of the house of Laban, right? Eliezer had to take Rivka out of, right? You had to you've got to take the good from out of the.
Yeah.
So there's lots of very tough ideas, and I don't want to throw your head with too much.
But
yeah,
the
question
that I couldn't
really ask before. So. Yeah, because they didn't have an answer. I see that Rabbeinu, and one of the reasons why a person kind of finds that, learns Rabbi Nachman, calls it Hungarian wine. One of his stories, he has a story about Hungarian wine. He says at the end of the story is a very simple story about two people, someone over here, two people discussing the wine they're having, and the one says, this is a good wine, and he says, no, it's not the best wine I've had. And then the guy who's listening says, let me taste. And he tastes it, and says, no, I'll give you a correct, you have to taste the Hungarian wine. But Rabbeinu basically said over there that he likened his teaching to Hungarian wine. But once he tasted it, everything else is like schwach, right? It's not nice, but it's not. Because it doesn't have the power to explain, to like speak to our neshama, to answer the questions that we have. So, anyway, wait. That's the question. I don't remember. I got carried away.
I just wanted to, if Hashem put all these other nations here, but then, you know, just is accepting us. So why are there other nations that seem that they're happy? You know, they seem that they find their soulmate. They seem that they're able to be successful and, you know, and keep certain commandments or like, you know, deals like that. So, I mean,
so
why are they part of
it? Exist on one level, these aren't complete answers. On one level, the nations are only here for Israel. Meaning, just like we were taken out of Egypt and we were created in the depths of Egypt, and now what Am Yisrael is created in Gadol. Am Yisrael was spread out into the 70 nations. Right? And we need to now come out of the 70 nations and back there to Israel, which we see what has happened to us. But in the same process like we came out of Egypt, like we were put in the pit of Egypt was like the worst place in the world. Immorality and sorcery and all of that. Abu Dhabi, right? Everything was going on, right? The worst of the worst. We had to come out of that clean. So we had to go into the Galut and come out of it clean. We had to, so to speak, be taken out of that darkness. So get the light out of the darkness. So there needs to be darkness in order to have light taken out of it. Like, it needed to be Egypt in order to take Israel out of Egypt. So Hashem had to create this thing called Egypt, which was really nasty and really bad and horrible, in order that Israel can come out of it. Can go into Egypt and come out. So here we're doing the same in the 70 nations that we're going in. The 70 nations contain each of the 70 different bad midot that exist. They all get mixed up now, so it's called air travel, no reason. So
right,
no. But they're all mixed up anyway. Right? But we need to come out of that. So we need to not mix with the nations. We need to see that and not mix with that. So God in Galut is really not mixed, is not too similar. To keep our identity strong. And through doing that, we refine ourselves, who we are. We identify who we are. So one of the main rules is that when Jews stop acting like Jews, then anti-Semitism rises. Right? To remind us who we are. Because the whole point is that
like
is the whole point is to remind us who we are, right? That we're Jews and we're different, and if we forget, they're going to tell us, right? So that's put right, because once Hashem found the nation who was going to serve Him, so now we need to be made into a fitting nation that can serve. Right? It's okay to have a nation that says now seven Ishmael. Yeah, fine, whatever you say, we're going to do it. But now we need to be put through our paces to actually become that, you know, a nation of holy individuals that struggled and fought and in order to get to a place where we're clean and we're worthy vessels and we earn the privilege, really, so to speak, of serving the King. The air of Eretz Yisrael is different. It's the air, right? The person forgets very much.
I can walk in somewhere, I can eat something, I don't have to worry about.
Yeah, but also there's a whole different...
What do you do?
You can't get clearly then.
You move here.
Wait. We have friends that came a few years ago and stayed with us at the conference. Good friends from London. They were thinking of making an alliance. They came, they looked at some places to live as well. But, right, they were like seriously interested. They didn't know and they wanted to go back home and think about it. I told him, I said, you should know that you should decide now here. Because if you don't decide here, when you get back home, everything's going to change. It's not like you're just going to be busy and things are going to go on, you've got court, school and kids and work. It's a whole different... Your mind won't be clear. No, your mind is just... You don't have that clarity anymore. So you say, yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, I understand, we'll think about it, I'm going to go home and think about it. That was like... Because even though you have certainty here, clear, it's very difficult to... Because over there, Hashem is not so clear. Maybe, I don't know.
Because
it's easier to...
Well, why would Hashem leave the Torah there then, if you already know you're supposed to be there?
To help us. Help give us, also to give us the merit. And to help us see the difference. To know that there's a difference between Chutzlaret and Mele.
There's
a difference. It felt like Jerusalem when you were in LA. So, what's the point of being at Houston? Good that it feels different.
You were in school. The teacher wrote down the answers to the questions along with the test. Would it be a test? Would it be worth getting 100? You were into school.
There's a test.
Test us questions, and you have to come up with an answer. If the whole page had the answers on it already.
I want to know how that relates to him. How does that relate to him?
No, she was. Why does Shem give us tests? Or can you do this, can you do that? There's no one there. There won't be any answers.
How am I going to...